Welcome to True North Vineyard Podcast, where we share our Sunday gathering messages. True North is a vibrant church plant community located in Traverse City, Michigan area. We are centered in the Bible and follow the example of Jesus praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We hope that our Sunday gathering messages encourage you to lean into the Word of God and compel you to take action. To connect with us, visit our website, vineyardtruenorth.churchcenter.com, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at True North Vineyard.
Hey, what's happening? How are y'all?
Are we good?
Yeah?
Are we good? You guys realize it's nice out, right?
All right, cool. I don't know what is going on. I think it's a move of the Lord, but a couple things. One, and this is why I think it's a move of the Lord. I thought this was the best worship we have ever had tonight, and that's coming from me personally. Okay, I appreciate that hearty backup. So we do not give our worship team enough credit. You guys realize the brilliance that we have as such a small church to have such amazing worship. So I just want you guys to, when you get the chance, say thank you to them and for all the hard work that they put in and the thankless hours, the thankless work. They do more than we could ever imagine, and you guys really are blessed by them. So do that, all right, first and foremost. So, Jonathan, thank you personally. Seriously, this was the best. And I don't mean just Jonathan. I mean all of you guys, okay? Let me be clear. So I just wanted to, all right. Secondarily, I really wanted to start out the night by, I don't know. I guess we're going to move. I'm not gonna. We're gonna move forward. I'm already gonna keep you till 7:30. I realize. So we're gonna move forward. Tonight I'm preaching to you back out of Philippians. So forgive me because I had an issue this week with miscommunication. I own fully. I did not get YouVersion stuff happening this week. Forgive me. You can still use it as a Bible app though. It still works for that. So. All right, so we're in Philippians again. Back to Philippians, we're in chapter 4. I'm going to be going through verses 4 through 9. As you can see up here, I've titled tonight's message, Head Versus Heart. So, oh, no, Steve's got me, so sorry about that. But yeah, Head Versus Heart is what I got going on tonight. And let's start by reading the Word. So here we are. Philippians 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Okay, couple things. First and foremost, I'm back into Paul, right? I think Palm Sunday was the last time I spoke up here. But I'm moving back into Paul. We only have like 3 more weeks of Paul from preaching for me in Philippians here. So how many of you have seen my sign-up sheet for what you'd like me to preach on? Right on. Hopefully you've taken advantage of that because at the end of these 3 messages, I'm picking 4. So just so you're aware, your time is running out. And then just also note, I will be putting out a new list of 10 books that you guys can choose which one you would like me to go through. So that'll be coming next, just for whatever that's worth. If you're like, I want to know more about that book, it'll be in there. Okay, there's my plug. Let's move to the first thing here. I'm going to go kind of verse by verse as we work through this. Do you have the Philippians 4:4? Sweet. So I'm going to look at the first verse in this passage, right? This is a pretty easy thing. How many of you know the old song, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice"? Okay, right. I grew up Baptist. I grew up with a lot of hymns. Love that crap. So just so you're aware, this is really interesting to me. What is rejoicing? Anybody got an idea of what rejoice means? Yeah, That's great. Rejoice. I looked up the definition because I love doing that, you know, and it says to show great joy or delight. I can tell you, not me, okay? How many of you can say, oh, that's a normal daily thing I do? Show great joy and delight. If so, praise the Lord for you, because that is not something that I am naturally gifted in. I'm like, okay, here's all these things we need to be better at. Let's move forward. All right, we got to get that done, that done. Yeah, this is really not awesome. That's how my brain works, so you're aware. So if your brain is like, praise the Lord, ignorance is bliss. No, I'm just kidding. But that is how we're called to live. We're called to live with rejoicing in our hearts and in our minds, right? That's how we are, as Christians, supposed to exemplify that life in Christ. It is supposed to be about great joy and delight because of who we are in Him. That's such an amazing thing. That is the reality of life, okay? Because we all know that the storms of chaos and craziness and negativity and junk in our life happen all the time. And guess what? They're going to continue happening. And guess what? If you're a Christian, you were promised to have them happen. Glory to God. Okay. Pretty straightforward, right? Rejoice. I don't think I need to say a whole lot about this, but just recognize that this is a hallmark of Christianity. This is a hallmark of how we are called to live our life, okay? I want to look at one verse a couple verses in Thessalonians. Do you have that one? I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19. They're all real short. So I just want to kind of like reinforce this idea of how Paul is looking at this thing when he's telling these Philippians this. And this is what he says. Rejoice always. Sounds familiar. Different church, different people, same message, right? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. This goes on into some other things, but I actually stopped here because I really wanted to recognize there is a very real ability to live in the Spirit and be thankful. That is an actuality we can actually enjoy. Okay? Cool. Rejoice. Don't forget about it. I do all the time. We're going to move to the next piece. Next verse. Do you have Philippians 4 or 5? I love Paul. This is like he ends all of his letters like staccato style. He's like, oh yeah, and this, and this, and this, and this, so that he can like fit everything he was saying in all the other chapters into like 16 verses. So that's why I'm kind of going through this. Okay, Philippians 4:5 says this: let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Now, this is really interesting because I looked at a bunch of different translations of the Bible. That's my dad's joke. I can't claim that one. I looked at a bunch of different translations of the Bible, and they all said something different right here for this reasonableness. So whenever I see that, I'm always curious. So I always go back to the Greek, and I'm like, okay, what is the word? What are they thinking? What are they saying? And the word here is epikeios. Which is, I'm like, I've never even heard this word. So what, you know? So then I had to go. There's an old saying in seminaries, and they say a little Greek is a very dangerous thing, and because we all of a sudden throw our spin on something, and it's like, oh yeah, clearly I know what I'm talking about. And so I really didn't want to do that with this. So I'm like, what is this word, and what does it mean? And I found a whole bunch of different. Are you guys familiar with how translation works? How many of you know a different language? Oh, it's like, okay, how many of you took Spanish or French in high school or something? Okay, cool, yeah. So you kind of get this. Heather, are you fluent in another language?
Yeah, I lived in France for several years.
Yes. That makes me really excited because too much of us as Americans, we don't do this type of thing. And it's just frustrating because we miss out on so much. Okay, I'm done with that. But epikeios, so the thing with translations is most languages don't come from the same root. Okay, this is an interesting thing to note. Our language is kind of a deviant language compared to a lot of the other languages, okay? A lot of these other languages stem from a place called love languages, which is out of the Latin, okay? And then Hebrew is a totally different thing, and then Greek is even more of a different thing when it comes to these. So when we're talking about translations, this is a weird thing. So they have to like bring in an idea rather than just say, well, this is a one-to-one, right? And that's kind of how they deal with translations. So this word, epikeios, is I found some really, like, kind of, how many of you are looking at a different translation than ESV? Is anybody? Sweet. Does it say a different word? Yeah, so say the words. For reasonableness, it says, let your gentleness, considerate. There was another one. I can't think of it. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so you see these different words. So when I'm looking at this, I stuck with be reasonable because I think this is the flavor I like most out of this. Because here's what the translators said, all these different translators. They said it could be suitable, equitable, fair. And then one went so far as to put an idea around the whole thing, which was not making a determined stance for one's just due. And that one really struck me, which is why I stuck with reasonableness. Okay, I was able to be humbled this week, I think back in Monday, that long ago, back in the Mondays, right? Okay, yeah, this week I was struck with this, and you know, how many of you, like, you get into a moment and you're like, I know I'm vindicated in something, right? Or like, I am right, or I didn't have the wrong motive, or whatever, right? We've all been there, I assume. And how many times has it just been always great? Zero, right? It's almost never great. Why? Because there's two people involved. And most of the time, one of you is looking at it differently than the other, right? Okay, and so with this action, it really hit me and humbled me when I was going into this part. And I realized, man, I immediately want to jump to being to making a determined stand for my own just cause or my own just due, right? And what does that, like, build up in me? Pride. Anger. Can somebody tell me what these are fruits of? Fruits of the flesh, right? That's not fruits of the spirit. I'm called to be full of the fruits of the spirit. I'm supposed to be bearing these fruits, right? And when I'm getting angry, when I'm getting prideful, this is not the right outcome. So obviously the problem is with me, not with this other person, right? And praise the Lord that was a recognition for me, because I easily could have jumped to a conclusion and just said something that I would have regretted later, and I would have had to repent from, and then I would have had to, again, not just at this moment, but at a later moment, humble myself one more time to that person and say, I should not have acted that way, and so on and so forth, right? And I just want to kind of put that out. Have you, any of you actually been in that position? Yeah, okay. Huh?
Usually the perpetrator.
Yeah. Which, you know, this is why this verse struck me so like prevalently, especially us who are Christians who like come together on these Sundays and who deal with each other constantly, you know, and those of us, just so you're aware, like in ministry, like Jared and Jonathan and Jess and Bianca and Tiff and all of us and Brooke, who are like close knit. Have you ever worked with somebody like really closely that wasn't your family? Does it always go amazingly smooth? Weird. I don't get that. That's exactly right. I see, and that's the type of thing that we're really striving for here at True North, is to listen to Jonathan a lot more. And so with that recognition, I just want to point out to you, what if we approached each other as Christians, those who we know, or even outsiders, with reasonableness? What a change in approach. What a change in heart posture. What a change in like our speaking and our thinking, right? So I thought that this verse, though small, hit me very profoundly. And I think the Lord was like, you know, kicking me in the butt a little bit in that, on this week in particular. And he's like, see, don't be stupid, Zach. Okay. My dad has this, he says this to me. I love my dad because he's got so many sayings. He's like, he thinks he's Proverbs. And he says, I've always joked and said, his name's Bryce Southwell, okay? And I've always joked and said, yes, my dad has a BS version of the Bible. Yeah, I'll let that sink in for just a second. Okay, yeah. So he says to me, all the time, jokingly, he's a super sarcastic in a loving way. He says, if you're ever going to do something stupid, ask me first. Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, yeah, because if I was going to do something stupid, I always think it's stupid before I do it, so that's why I would ask you, right? Now, I always realize it's stupid later, but I feel like this is what the Lord is doing here. This is kind of like what Paul's saying. I picture this, and I actually use this practically in my life. The Lord's like, hey, Zach, if you're going to do something stupid, why don't you come to me first? Normally, when I actually think about that, it's amazing how much different the outcome of what I was going to do becomes. It's really, really true, right? And this is the life and the spirit that we talk about so often. This is all it is. It's as simple as that. Why don't you go to him first about anything? So I want to use, do you have the James passage? I want to tie this in because James is right here. He's talking about what's wise and what is wisdom and how does this approach? So he says this, James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. Hey, guess what? That's the same word there in Greek. That's really interesting. Open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Normally, that's not what happens when I'm not being reasonable, right? Okay, I think I beat that horse to death. But I really like it, and I really just want to leave you guys with this thought on that verse. Be wise. Don't do that thing. Be reasonable. Go to the Lord first when you're going to do something stupid. Okay? Noted? Cool? All right, we're going to move on to the next piece. Ooh, I almost stopped at that one so I could do an entire message on verses 6 and 7. So if you have verses 6 and 7 up there, I know many of you have probably read this in some Our Daily Bread or some daily devotional or something of that nature, right? Here's what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have any of you ever like just read this, or is the verse of the day on your app or something? Yeah, of course. This one, why is this the case? How many of you live in the U.S.? Okay, I know, dumb question, right? What in the world? How many of you are familiar with Weird Al? You know Weird Al? Yeah, okay. He's got a song called First World Problems. It is flabulous. That's flawless and fabulous put together, okay? This is our world. We live in a first world problem type world. Yeah, when it's like, my internet's down. It's going to screw my day up. Oh, you poor thing. I feel bad for you. Like, come on. I mean, really, think of the things that really throw our days off, right? Oh, my clothes. I just have nothing to wear. If we put ourselves in a third world country, how many of you have gone to a third world country? Is it anything like ours, those of you who've been there? Weird. What do they care about there? What am I eating today? Where am I sleeping? Do I have water? And is there a roof over my head? That's pretty much the extent of their concerns. But thankfully, you and I live in a first world problem situation where we get to be concerned about a plethora of things. A whole smorgasbord, if you will. Cornucopia, whatever. All right. Yeah, that's the problem we have, okay? We have to decide what is actually important in life. That's not an easy task because I think we actually have it way worse being connected to the Lord in that way than those people in the third world country who, well, it's rely on the Lord for these things or not. And the outcome is either in my hands or it's not. But when it's stuff that doesn't really matter, a lot of times it gets real confusing about what we should care about. And anxiety creeps up, right? Yeah, am I fat? Am I ugly? Do I have enough money? Do I look like the Joneses? Like all these things that are totally irrelevant. Really, really irrelevant. That's not what God's looking at. This is the thing that I want to point out to all of you. Like, what's he looking at? The heart. So, when we go into this, There's a slide. If you have this, I want to put it up. Are you guys, any of you familiar with the Head versus Heart comics? If not, do yourself a favor and lose an hour of your life. Read this for just a second. Yeah. I absolutely love this comic. This comic just... There's so many of these. They're just fun. Just look up Head versus Heart and you'll get it. But I love this because what is it we're talking about here? Don't be anxious for anything, right? And this is the thing I find myself most often like at war with, Heart. And it's really fun talking to Jared on a daily basis just about, because sometimes I feel like he's all heart and I'm all head. And if you read this comic enough, it's amazing how each side bashes the other because of what they are. And it is like, oh yeah, Jared has so many valuable things that I don't have in ministry, and man, do I need them. I don't bring anything to him, but regardless, he does a lot for me. So as we go forward, I want to talk about what it looks like with the head versus heart idea. And you can shut that down, however, because they won't look at me and I want them to. Has anyone ever been anxious? Okay, yeah, all right. Ever been told, don't worry about it? was it helpful? You're worried about that? Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Yeah, that's good advice. Hey, remember when you're going to do something stupid? Ask God. All right. So I want to suggest a solution. This is an interesting idea, right? Go to God? Of course. Right. Okay. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Do you have that up there, Steve? I don't know if you have that yet, but Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Really difficult for us to do in the first world, right? We don't have to think about the things that we think about. We have the luxury of thinking about what my fantasy football team is going to be doing next year. I'm excited about the draft. I'm whatever. I mean, you name it. Like, we have so many things that occupy our brain that are really, really irrelevant. That doesn't mean we can't have fun. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be. I'm not asking you to become a monk, okay? But that is an issue that we have to deal with, and I just want you guys to be aware that that is an issue. I know you're aware, but once again, hearing it and bringing it up is a big deal. So we need to set our mind on things above. Loving and desiring God is the beginning and end of all dealings with anxiety. Is that good advice or no?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. See, Jared brings so much into my life and into my sermons, in case you're wondering. But yes, this is the thing. If it's don't worry about it, that's dumb advice, right? Of course, don't worry about it. I'm sure you even know don't worry about it. But let's do this. Let's love and desire God above our anxiety. That is the thing that will fix that problem, okay? So I think one of the best and most dangerous things that the devil does is say, you need to fix this thing, or you need to think about this thing to get it better, or you need to XXXXX, whatever that may be, rather than anything except God. Like, oh my goodness, I lied today. I was gossiping, I was slandering, I was doing XXXXX. Jared hates when I say that, that's why I say it so often. But really, this is a thing. Like, this is a real thing that I want you guys to recognize. Anything that is not set on God first is going to miss the mark. Does anybody know what that term is in Old English?
No.
Go ahead, hit me. What is it?
Sin.
Weird. That's what that term actually means, to miss the mark. And I really want that to be relevant to you guys. Like, anything that you're setting your thoughts or heart on first before the Lord is missing the mark. I promise you, if you choose to do him first in your heart and your head, and then do whatever it is you're anxious about or so on and so forth, it's going to be a lot different. It'll feel a lot different, and you'll think about it a lot different. So just want to encourage you guys in that. All right, next thing I want to bring up is 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, because he talks like a really relevant piece here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. How many of you have been in a relationship? Okay. Relationships are two-way streets. This cannot be missed. Okay? If I just go to God and say, God, I need you to fix this. I need you to fix this. Oh, poor me. Please come fix this. I was having a conversation with my wife about this not terribly long ago. And she's like, I'm asking him to do these things in my life, and he just isn't doing them. And I said, that is really interesting. And it was just a profound moment for me. Like, I wonder why that is. I truly was like, yeah, I've prayed with you, and I know your prayers, and I hear your heart, and I know your desire is like, Lord, please help me and fix this thing in my life. And it hit me, and I don't know why. I think it was the Lord's prompting. And I said, do you let him? And it was just kind of came out before I thought about it. And she's like, what do you mean? And then I had this whole vision in my head. I have a daughter. She's almost 5, Willow, right? You guys know her. And she gets in these moments where, for whatever reason, she's really got her mind or her heart fixed on something, but she can't do it or accomplish it. Like, she couldn't find her candy the other day. She's got a bag of candy she's been holding on to. She picks one every couple days from Easter. She's a hoarder like me. She wants to save, and she couldn't find it. She's like, Dad, I don't know where my candy is, right? And so I said, did you ask Kristen? Your mom? And she's like, yeah, she said it was by my dollhouse. That's where she saw it. And it wasn't by my dollhouse. And she's breaking down, right? And I'm like, well, Willow, I'll help you find it. I'm in the shower right now. She's in the bathroom with me crying, you know, as I'm in the shower. I'm like, I'm going to be out in a couple minutes and I can help you look for it. Have you looked here or there or there? No. And she goes and sits on the floor in the bathroom waiting for me, but just crying. So I'm like, you know, hurry up, get my shower done. And then I get out and I said, all right, get out so I can hurry up and help you, right? That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I want to be a good dad and help her out because she can have candy. I got to get out. And I'm like, are you ready to look for your candy? She's like, no. I'm like, well, why not? Don't you want your candy? And she's like, yeah. And I said, well, we gotta find it, right? Yeah, it's not here. It's gone. And I'm like, what? No, I'm pretty sure it's here. Your mom said it was in here somewhere. So, you know, mom's not here right now, but I promise we can look for it really well. No, I can't. She just goes and has her way. And I'm like, this was exactly what came to my mind when my wife was talking to me about, why won't God help me? I'm like, wait a minute. You're constantly asking the Lord to help you, but you're constantly not letting him, which was really profound for me and her at this moment. And she's like, you're right. I'm doing exactly what Willow does. And I'm like, man, this is huge. We've been talking about this for 10 years. How did we miss this thought? And it was like this light bulb in her head, this changing moment that she's like, I guess I just didn't think I had to, or I didn't know that I just wanted him to help me, but I wanted it to be my way. And I'm like, yeah. That's a key thing. That's the problem that I'm dealing with and you're dealing with, and that we're constantly trying to submit ourselves to him. What a profound idea. So when we look at these things, this anxiety and whatnot, relationship matters. You can ask all you want, but unless you submit it to him, like Paul said, or like Peter's saying, just give it to him and say, I'm willing to let you help me, Lord. That's the key part of this. Not just help me, Lord, do it my way, but rather I'm willing to let you be a part of this thing because I trust you and I know you have good things for me. That anxiety can immediately leave and go. Simple as that. It can go. So I just wanted to push on to that. I'm not going to read the next passage. You guys are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew? He has this long thing about do not be anxious for anything. You know, the grass of the field, the birds of the air, they don't clothe themselves. They don't put away for winter. They don't do it. But the Lord cares for them consistently. And again, this is going back to those first world problems. That's what we get to do. We don't have to worry about them. We can just let the Lord worry about them because he says he wants to. What an amazing thing. So, like I said, I wanted to do a whole thing on it, but for whatever it's worth, be done. Have you guys ever seen the picture of the stork and the frog? Stork standing there, long neck. He's got a frog in his mouth, and the frog is squeezing his throat. And it says, never give up. That's the thing that I want you guys to do, is never give up on the option to let the Lord do it. Don't give up on that. You don't need to pick it back up and try to do it yourself, because swimming out of that stork's neck is not going to be easy. You guys have circled the drain down on that anxiety, right? Okay. I think we've all had anxiety. All right. I want to move on to the end here, because I know I'm going later than I should, so I apologize. But let's move on to the end. Verse 8. I said 7:30, right? Oh, never mind. I got lots of time. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Does anybody have a junk drawer in their house? Or a junk cupboard or a junk something? Some place where you got to have it all. Like, there's, you know, it's got the tape, it's got the weird screwdriver that you never use except twice in your life. It's got, you know, just all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. And some, there's, are these Pop Rocks? What are they doing in here? You know, I mean, like, that's a junk drawer, right? Somehow they have everything you've ever thought of that you never need in that drawer. I don't know why that's a thing, but it is. Because we live in a first world problem area. Okay. With that in mind, how many of you allow thoughts to live rent-free in your mind that is just junk? Yeah. They occupy space and you're like, oh, I don't care. You have at it. Thanks for coming. Can't wait till they leave. My dad has another saying, come back when you can't stay so long. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's what you need to tell your junk drawer, this, okay? I really am really meaning that. There is a junk drawer that you have in your head, and that's what Paul's going after. He's like, okay, all those things you think about and all these blah, 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 this is what I'm talking about. This is what is good and true and valuable. Think about these things. Do these things, okay? That's the big one. So either start charging rent on that junk and those tenants that just live there for free. Or kick them out, okay? Easy process, right? Really easy. You just got to go to court and do it. Okay, never mind. Forgive me. All right. But yeah, kick it out. Like clean your junk drawer out and let's just make it a normal drawer. Make it with things that actually matter and are useful in life, okay? All right. Last thing, I'm gonna leave you with this. The last verse of the whole thing, chapter 4, verse 9 says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now, this is Paul, right? Paul is saying this to all the church in Philippi. He's saying, all these things that you have heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. That is a promise straight from Scripture that Paul seems to believe very firmly, that if you just do the simple things in life when it comes to the Lord, like, come to me before you do something stupid, clean out the junk drawer, all these different ideas, right? Then it will be okay, and life will be fine, and God will take care of you, and that's how it's meant to be. That was the design. It was God and his people together doing life. That's what he wanted, and that's what he's doing. So when Paul's looking at this, I think he's trying to give the Philippians the very thing that all parents are trying to do, which is their children a good life. That's what he wants. He wants all of these children of his in this church in Philippi to have a good life. It is for freedom that you have been set free, and it is for bountiful and love and all these things that are good and good. That's what he wants for his people. So I'm going to leave with four practical applications, right? You ready for these? Practice actually rejoicing daily and write down the ways that you are blessed as often as you feel discouraged and give them thanks to God. That's a really easy practical application. Number two, be reasonable. That one's not easy, but I have faith in you. I think you can do it. Epictetus, right? Not failing. Wait, is that it? No, I don't want to say it wrong. Not going after a determined stand for one's just due. That's what being reasonable is, right? Even if you are, that's the whole turn the other cheek aspect. That's like, you might be right, But is it beneficial? And can you take it? Can you take it in the face? Because if you can, it's probably going to be a better outcome than hitting them first, right? Because you're going to get hit back anyway. But yeah, I got the first hit in. That's not how Jesus calls us to live. Just suck it up and take it. Be awesome. Be excellent. I wanted to go into Bill and Ted's, but we're going to move on. Sorry. All right, third thing. You were not meant to live with or in anxiety. Give it to God. Live with the peace of God as you were meant to. This is it. This is so it in our day and age. Just get rid of it. Let him take care of it. Okay, let him. That's a key thing. And lastly, clean out your junk drawer. Fill it with the good thoughts. Fill it with the things that are relevant. Fill it with the Lord. And before you go and do something stupid, talk to God. And that, just so you're aware, everything you do is stupid. I'm just kidding. But if you think that way, you're going to always go to him first. And that's how we're meant to live, okay? I love you guys. You know I don't think you're stupid. So I just want that to be clear. But here's what I want to do tonight as we close. If you feel like you have a hard time giving up things, if you feel like you're that, you know, that controller that's like, I want to make sure I'm the one dealing with these things in your life, I really encourage you to come ask for prayer. Ask for prayer to set yourself aside, right? Even and for somebody like me, one of my things is I'm pretty good at things in life. There's a lot of things I'm really decent at. So I like get puffed up in my own thinking and think, oh, I can take care of that. I'm pretty good at things. But that's exactly when I get in trouble. And I just want to push those thoughts out to you. So I do stupid stuff all the time, and I don't go to God, and I pay the price. And I just want to encourage you guys that that's something you can ask the Lord to take out of your hands. Lord, help me with this. And then let him help you. That's key, okay? Otherwise, if there's anything else that you want prayer for in any way, it could be praise, it could be anything, come up and pray with one of us. This is what we get to do with each other as the body of Christ. So, Jared, you're up here. I really appreciate that. Jess, come up. David and Natalie, if you guys would you, if more people come up, you guys come up, I appreciate it. But otherwise, I'm going to close you and bless you. Go and be awesome. So Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord, and I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you that we get to be the body of Christ together as we come and share life, and that Sundays, Lord, especially this day, you have just moved in our lives, that you have come and inhabited this place, that you have loved your people, that you have been among us. We praise you for that thing, Lord, because you are so worthy of it. Lord, I ask that you would be with each one of these people, that you would encourage them, that you would help them to see the good things in their life, and as they walk through the pains and the trials and the suffering, Lord, that we know will come. So, Father, I just ask that you will shore them up. I ask that you will give them encouragement and strength, and that they will be able to rejoice in an everyday fashion, Lord. So I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your holiness, your justice, and your righteousness, and that you are the God we get to serve. Lord, I pray that you would just be glorified by our hearts and by our heads. So thank you, Lord, and I pray that you just sanctify us to your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to the True North Vineyard podcast. We hope that you are blessed by this message. To connect with us, be sure to visit our website, vineyardtruenorth.churchcenter.com, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at True North Vineyard. We hope to see you soon.